Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem worship service is at 8:30. UCC of California worship is at 10:30. You can still catch us online at 10:30 at our website, www.calmo-ucc.org. This morning we will be in Acts 22 as we continue our sermon series, The Church on Purpose. We find the Apostle Paul back in Jerusalem for the final time. We hear Paul give his testimony about how Jesus changed his life. The title of the sermon today is Before and After. How have you changed since you met Jesus? Paul gave his testimony many times to convince others of Jesus' power to change. Would your testimony about Jesus change someone's life? Jesus has the power to change us to do great things for his service. I can't wait to worship with everyone this morning. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3 says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." In the midst of trying times, and these certainly have been trying times, we need to remember to praise God for all of his wonderful blessings. He has healed many in our community who have been afflicted with the virus. Let's praise him for that this morning. May God bless you with his boldness and strength. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you and Reverend Cobb for allowing me to come and lead you in worship in your beautiful church today. My name is David Kohler, and I bring greetings from your friends, your sisters and brothers in Christ from Central United Church of Christ, just down the road in Jefferson City. So once again, thank you. Would you all please join me in the call to worship? We are children of God, learning to walk day by day. We are learning to be the church.
God is a loving parent, teaching us to walk. God loves us, leads us, and feeds us.
Praise be to God.
Leads our children's time.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning to those people who are online. Today, we are going to be talking about Joseph. And Joseph had 10 brothers, and he was the second youngest of his family. And his older brothers did not like Joseph. Joseph was his father's favorite son. Joseph one day got a coat from his father that was multiple colors, and his brothers were not happy with that. So his father decided one day to send Joseph out into the field where his brothers were tending sheep. And as he was coming, his brothers were trying to con how they were going to get rid of Joseph. So they pondered different things, and one of the brothers said, "Let's go throw him in the well." So what they did is they threw him in the well. And later, the oldest son, Reuben, said, "I don't really like that. I'm going to come back and get him." Well, as they started to walk home, they saw some people walking back with camels that was going to Egypt. And so this time they decided they were going to go get his brother and they were going to sell him. So this time they went out and they sold his brother. So Joseph got sold. He walked all the way to Egypt. And while he was there, dreams and stuff started happening. And he ended up being in prison for 2 years. And so while he was in prison, all these dreams kept happening, and everybody would come up to Joseph and say, "Can you tell me what this means?" So Joseph heard their dreams, and he would tell them what it meant. Well, one day, the ruler of Egypt had a dream that he told his people he didn't understand. And so the guy said, "I remember a guy in prison. Go ask Joseph what this means." So when Joseph came to the leader, he told him his dream. And Joseph looked at him and said, "Sir, that means that we will have famine for 7 years. And what I would like for you to do now is get all the wheat, get all the grains, stock up. Because after this 7 years, there's going to be famine. There's not going to be anything left for anybody to eat or drink." So then the 7 years came, and then all of a sudden the drought started happening. There was no water. All the fields dried up, and so his brothers came from Egypt because they also had dryness. They came over, and they asked, who Joseph was now ruling over all of this, can you help us? And Joseph knew who they were his brothers. And so what would you think? Do you think he would be mad at his brothers because they sold him? Or do you think Joseph was going to forgive his brothers? Joseph decided to forgive his brothers. Good job, Sophie. So he forgave his brothers. And in our scripture lesson today, it says, and Joseph said to his brothers, come near me so that they will be, come near me. Then they, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold to Egypt. But now do not, therefore, be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me here before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, famine has been in the land, and there still is 5 years in which will neither plow nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve the prosperity for you in earth and to save your lives from the great deliverance. So when the brothers came, they brought their father with them, and his father was so happy to see Joseph, he ran and gave him a hug. And so what God is asking us to do, if someone harms you or hurts you, he would like for you to forgive them. So let's say a little prayer. God, thank you for forgiving us. Please help us remember Joseph and to find the strength to forgive whom wronged us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Ellen Ash has our special music with a piano rendition of I've Got That Joy, 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 Joy Down in My Heart. Reads our scripture lesson.
First scripture lesson is found in Psalms 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard upon the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson is found in Matthew 15th chapter, verses 10 through 20. And he called the people to himself and said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes in the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" He answered, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall in the pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and so passes on? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles the man. For out of heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Here ends the scripture lessons.
Our sermon is by a guest speaker, David Kohler.
Bow our heads for a moment of prayer. May the words of this humble servant be worthy of your grace, O Lord. Amen. A very long time ago, a business acquaintance of mine, which ultimately ended up becoming a very dear friend, told me something that I didn't realize the magnitude of until some time later. And it was kind of a funny play on words. But my friend told me that relationships are only everything. That relationships are only everything. And that stuck with me for a long, long time. And from time to time, I would reflect back on that and would realize how true that actually is. And after I came up with the title for the message today, that I am, after studying and thinking for a while, that came back to me, that relationships are only everything. So if I had a do-over, I would probably rename it. And that's what I would rename it. But we know this is true. One of the examples of that is one of our two greatest commandments that Jesus gave us. And it was instructing us on the importance of relationships. He said that thou shalt love thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That is all relationships. Once again, relationships are only everything. And in our story today that Carla started to share with us what we're going to be talking about Joseph, relationships were just as full of drama then as they are now, or vice versa. And oftentimes when I read some of the scripture, it seems to almost smoke. It's so hot because there was a lot of drama back then. It's not just now. They had a lot of drama then. And Joseph's family had a lot of drama in it. And today's message that I'm going to speak about really dwells out of chapter 45, Genesis 1 through 15. But in order to grasp some of that, you do have to flash back to some of the earlier things that happened to Joseph, which Carla has spoke about this morning. And I want to highlight a couple of things that is kind of important to know in case you've either forgotten or just maybe didn't know. We know that Joseph was a dreamer. He was able to understand and interpret dreams. And I'm sure when he told his brothers, he's the second youngest in the family and daddy's favorite. and it was real obvious. But I'm sure when he interpreted a dream that he had and shared it with his brothers, that he was going to become a great person and that they would be bowing to him, that they didn't take too kindly to that. The little runt of the family that's Dad's favorite is telling us that we're going to bow down to him. So I could see where that kind of upset them just a little bit. But he was adamant. This was going to happen. You were going to bow down to me. Now, maybe in his dream, the way he saw it and the way his brothers took it was two different things. That could be. But nevertheless, it caused a ton of friction. And so we know that his brothers conspired to get rid of him, which they did. Ultimately, he ended up in prison. Then he ended up being a slave. He got into a little trouble when he was a slave. He was accused of doing something with the slave owner's wife that he did not do. He ended up going to prison for it. While he was in prison, more dreams. The cupbearer. That's a job you don't hear much about anymore. We don't have too many jobs of cupbearers anymore. But I guess that would be kind of like maybe a royal bartender or something, I don't know. But he was in charge of the cup for the Pharaoh. And the baker, I guess they made the Pharaoh mad and they were in prison. They had a dream, they shared it with Joseph. Joseph predicted the outcome and it was true. And he asked the cupbearer to share that news with the Pharaoh. If he ever had a chance, he said, let Pharaoh know that I get to be able to understand these dreams. God shares that with me. Joseph, this is a very important point. Joseph always accredits God for his accomplishments, and he does that a lot. We're going to get into that in just a few minutes. So he gets out of prison and becomes Pharaoh's right-hand man because of his keen ability to interpret dreams. Now, he becomes the second most powerful man in all of Egypt, Joseph. Pharaoh is the only one that has more power than him. Joseph controls all the food, and basically anything that happens goes through Joseph, so that Pharaoh doesn't have to mess with it. So he's a very, very powerful person. So that is kind of the background of what has happened to Joseph up to this point. And this is where our scripture reading takes off. Joseph is in the employ, if you will, of the Pharaoh when his brothers come to Egypt in search of food because of the famine. Everybody's starving. And Joseph recognizes his brothers immediately. Joseph speaks fluent Egyptian. So by choice, he speaks to his brothers through an interpreter, which is more covert, so they have no idea this is Joseph, none at all. And this is the reading that takes off from there. And it's entitled, Joseph Reveals Himself to His Brothers. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood before him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And when he wept loudly, the Egyptians heard it, and the household of the Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But the brothers could not answer him. They were in such dismay. Just with his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer." And they came closer. And he said, "I am your brother, Joseph. You know, the one you sold into slavery. Now, don't be distressed and don't be angry with yourselves because you sold me here. God sent me before you to preserve life. For a famine has been in the land for 2 years, and there is 5 more years of famine to come, where there will be no plowing or harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me father to Pharaoh and lord of his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go tell my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and don't delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen and you shall be near me. You and your children's children as well as your flocks and your herds and all that you have, I will provide for you there. Since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all you have will not fall into poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell your father how I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and he wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. He kissed all of his brothers, and he wept upon them. And after that, the brothers talked. I try to put myself in the shoes of the brothers. Joseph was 17 when he ultimately got sold into slavery. He's now, we figure, in his mid-30s, early to mid-30s. So I'm sure he's changed a lot. He spoke fluent Egyptian and spoke of Egyptian through their interactions until this point. At this point, when he revealed himself and he said, I am Joseph, he did it in Hebrew, his native language. That had to have blown his brothers away. And I can't imagine standing in front of the most powerful man in all the lands at that time, realizing that he was the one that you did wrong, badly wrong, all of the brothers. And yet he seems to not be in a vindictive state. And this is where Joseph gets a lot of credit for being the great forgiver. And I don't want to take anything away from Joseph, but there's a couple things that kind of came to my attention, and I was just kind of wondering. And that is, he didn't reveal himself immediately. When he first noticed his brothers, he continued to speak Egyptian. And he even accused his brothers of being spies and had them thrown in jail. And then he had the cupbearer, the cup, this fancy cup, he had it stored in Benjamin's pack, his pack, and they caught him with it and accused him of stealing it. And I'm thinking, was he looking to see if they were remorseful? Was he contemplating some revenge? After all they did to him, I mean, you can't blame him. I mean, it's a horrible situation. So some may be quick to give credit to Joseph for his passionate response to the reconciliation between them. And he's certainly responsible for some of that. He facilitated that. But Joseph, all his life, gave credit where credit is due, and I think it is especially due here. Credit is to God. God is the one that made the reconciliation and the forgiveness happen. If God wasn't present in everything that Joseph did on a daily basis, this would have turned out completely different for his brothers and for him. Completely different. And we know God was present every day in his life, starting all the way back to when Joseph had his first and second son. His first son he named Manasseh, which means, in Hebrew, it means, God has removed my troubles. His second-born son, he named Ephraim, which in Hebrew means, God has made me fruitful. So right there, those two things, just the naming of his two sons, every time his son's name was mentioned, that was a reference to his homage he was paying to God. So we know that from the start. And the countless times that Joseph would give credit to God for any and all of his accomplishments, and one of the most important ones that has to do with today's message, is when he met the Pharaoh for the first time. The Pharaoh had heard about his dreaming interpretations. And it would have been very easy for Joseph to say, yep, I can do it. You just tell me your dreams and I can interpret them for you. That gives me the power. But Joseph didn't do that. He was very clear and he said, God has revealed the dreams to me. He gave credit to God once again. In Joseph's case, the forgiveness led to the reconciliation with his brothers. But what if a person is not interested in reconciliation? Maybe you are, but the other person is not. It really takes a person on both sides to make that work. So you have to wonder. And oftentimes, this is a struggle for us humans. We struggle with that when we are caught in a situation where forgiveness and reconciliation is needed, but we don't want to take that first step because we may feel that we need it, and we probably do, but the other person doesn't seem to be receptive, and that is a very vulnerable time for anyone to take that step outside of their comfort zone where they're shelled with the discontent or the anger, the hatred towards another person or persons. So I investigated that. What do you do if you're only half of the reconciliation process? And I found a reference in Corinthians verse 5, 18 through 20. And the Apostle Paul tells us that God has given us, as Christians, has given us a ministry of reconciliation, which means we are to be committed to trying, which means as Christians, with God by our side, we need to be willing to take that first step. Maybe it'll be accepted and welcomed, maybe it won't. But we need to take that first step, whether it's with, and all of us have different situations throughout life, whether it's with a sibling, whether it's with a friend, whether it's with a coworker, whether it's, the list goes on and on and on. A parent. I can't think of how many people I have known that I've known over the years that haven't talked to a brother or a sister or a mother for a decade because of something that happened or something that was said, something that came out of our mouth that came supposedly from our heart. One particular day, something happened and caused this disconnect. Most of us can name someone that has that same situation, if not ourselves. So we have to be willing to take that first step. And this is what happens. By trying to take that, for by taking that first step and by doing it, it becomes a reflection of God's grace. And the important part of that is that becomes a reflection of God's grace to all. not just the person that you are persons you're trying to reconcile with, but it becomes a reflection to all the seers. And who knows? Maybe for all the seers, that reflection that is coming from God through you, that reflection might be the introduction to a new or renewed relationship with God. Amen.